Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday morning. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel, Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you online this morning. We are in what some have called the Mount Everest of the Psalms, Psalm 68 this morning. It's not necessarily the longest psalm. It is long, as we will see, but it is very majestic, towers to the heavens, and it's also very difficult to climb. So we will do our best to be faithful to God's word this morning, but we will not have time to try to understand every line of Psalm 68. So I want you to know, as I pray and then as I read the psalm, you might think there's some things in there that are difficult to understand. And for the most part, we're going to leave those alone just because we don't have time to do that. Eventually, I will preach Psalm 68 on a Sunday morning when I have a longer period of time, and we'll go through and hopefully unpack those difficulties whenever that day comes. But our plan for preaching, Lord willing, if God is gracious to us, is to preach summers in the Psalms. And so just as we're going through the songs of Asaph this summer, we'll be going through other psalms in coming summers. So eventually we'll get to Psalm 68. But this morning, we're taking a devotional look at it. And let's ask the Lord's help to do that, because that will be a challenge for us this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your compassion to us. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, your steadfast, unfailing love. Father, we pray that you would write your word on our hearts this morning, that we would see you in Psalm 68, and that we would glorify you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 68. It's written to the choir master. It is a psalm of David and a song. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, it's the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousand upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation, Selah. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them the virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord, Selah. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens. Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Amen. And again, that may seem a little difficult to understand, so let's see if we can get a handle on it and get some encouragement from this word from God this morning. Where do we find a key? There is a key in this scripture. And one of the keys to understanding the Psalms is to make sure that we interpret them the way that the Bible interprets them, right? The best interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. And so there is a key verse in here, and it's verse 18, right in the middle of the psalm. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, or it could be receiving gifts for men. It could even be distributing gifts to men. Hebrew poetry can be difficult to translate accurately, so it can be any of those senses. The idea is that of a victory ascension, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. This verse, the Apostle Paul uses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, to discuss how Jesus ascended on high, seated at the right hand of God the Father, distributes gifts and gives, equips his people so that the church will glorify him with the gifts that he gives. And overall, this is a victory psalm. And so if we go back to the very beginning, we have victory. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, right? And we have references in the psalm to God going up with a shout, right? And so this is a victory psalm, and the best way to understand this as believers in Christ is the fulfillment of all of the psalms. The best way to understand this is as a psalm that celebrates the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of God the Father, the pouring out of gifts from the throne of Christ, and the secure victory that Christ's ascension and seating at the right hand of God the Father secures for his people, and then even up to his promised coming return. So it's the victory of Jesus, and it is focused on his ascension, his sitting at the right hand of God the Father, his distributing gifts from his throne in heaven to his church, and then his coming again to finish the salvation of his people. So all of that is really contained within Psalm 68, and it's in beautiful language that is not always easy to understand because of certain geographical references, certain historical references, but we don't have to get bogged down in those details. If you're reading the Psalms devotionally, you can read them and you can glean what is there, and it's okay to sort of say, okay, I don't understand those verses, I'm going to sort of pass over them and trust the Spirit of God to write this word on my heart, even if my brain can't comprehend every jot and tittle of it. And I know for some of us that bothers us, but for others of us, we're okay with that. And that's sometimes how we need to approach the Psalms when we're doing it devotionally. Now, if you have time, you can certainly do an in-depth study of Psalm 68, and it will yield much more fruit than that for your life. But let's glean a little bit. Let's just pick up some truths. So God is victorious. Jesus has overcome sin and death and the devil. And that's one of the great things we need to see from Psalm 68. Jesus came just this morning in one of my Bible reading passages. I was reading Luke 4, which is Luke's account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And I was reminded that Jesus overcame the devil's every temptation so that he honored God the Father with his whole life and was completely, perfectly without sin. So Jesus overcame the temptations of the devil. He overcame the allurements of the world. Anytime a crowd tried to make him king or tried to give him earthly glory, he passed through the crowd and went on his way. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." And then when Jesus went to the cross, he conquered sin and death. In his death and in his resurrection, he defeated the devil's temptations. He defeated the world's allurements. He defeated sin on the cross by paying the full penalty for our sin. And then he defeated death in his resurrection. And having secured that victory, the Lord Jesus went to heaven and he sat at the right hand of God the Father. And that's where he is now. And so we can be glad. We can be glad in him. We can exult before God. We can be jubilant with joy. Listen, I've had a hard time this past week being jubilant with joy because I've been struggling with a number of things that have really just bothered me. The violent killing of Pastor Jean-Paul in Haiti has really been weighing heavily on my heart and mind. The loneliness that's being experienced by Jacob and Carol Lee, our missionaries in northern Uganda, and the way that that country has been shut down from COVID and the way that the president is using it to try to strengthen his hand politically has bothered me. The political divisiveness and nastiness that we see here in America, whether it's, you know, riots in the streets and just ugly, violent graffiti and vandalism and looting and burning, or whether it's people on Facebook and social media just saying horribly ugly things about other people that are just very unloving and very divisive. I don't know if you've been paying attention to COVID deaths, but they're on the rise again. A couple days ago, we had over 1,800 deaths in one day, and we haven't seen numbers that high for a daily death count since like May, I think. And so there's COVID continues to spread and to take lives. We're, you know, up at close to 160,000 Americans now who have died because of COVID. And people argue about it and fight about it instead of uniting and fighting the disease. It's just been troubling. It's just been weighing heavily on my heart. And I've had a hard time exulting before God and being jubilant with joy, especially since we got the news of the killing of Jean-Paul. And I've had a hard time. But Psalm 68 calls me out of that. Psalm 68 reminds me, Jesus has won the victory. Jesus has won the victory. So we can sing to God. We can sing praises to his name. He's the Lord. We can exalt before him. Listen, he's the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. Pastor Jean-Paul has left behind a widow, and his children are now fatherless in this world. But they are not fatherless, for the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. And he will meet them, and he will sustain and strengthen them. He is compassionate, he is good, and we can trust him. God goes out before his people. So some of this is making reference to the Exodus, right? God in the pillar of cloud and fire, he went through the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. He held back the enemies. He led his people through the wilderness. He led them to provision. But it's also a reminder to us that King Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and he has gone before us through death into life. And so we follow in his footsteps. He leads us on in salvation. And so just as God led his people through the desert wilderness in the Exodus, so also God leads us through the desert wilderness of this world. If this world sometimes feels like a desert wilderness, that's the way it's supposed to feel. It's not our home. And so we have victory that God gives. Remember, during that desert wilderness journey, there were times when God would give his people victory, and they would conquer enemies, and they would divide the spoil. And so God sometimes gives great victory, but there's no greater victory that God gives than the victory over sin and death. And there's this reference here in verses 15 to 17 that's wonderful. It leads up to this verse that Paul uses to describe the ascension of Jesus and his gifting of the church. I want to just dwell on this for a minute. And that is, the mountains of Bashan were up in the north of Israel. They're still there. They're up in the north of Israel. They're great, mighty, tall mountains that get a lot of rain, and so they're very green in the spring. They have abundance of flocks, and many people from Israel looked at those as being the greatest mountains. And yet he's sort of personifying them as saying, why are you looking with hatred on the mountain that God desired for his abode, where the Lord will dwell forever? Listen, this is the great powers of the world, whether it's the United States or China or Russia or, you know, certain countries in the Middle East, the great powers of the world look with envy on the church, because the church is God's beloved people, and the church is a worldwide kingdom that has been for thousands of years and that will endure till the end of time. And King Jesus is loved and worshiped, and he is the savior, and he is the devotion of his people. And that's something no earthly kingdom can ever accomplish. And so all the earthly kingdoms look on the church with envy. And we in the church need to realize that the chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. In other words, this is another way of saying, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. God is for us. Who can stand against us? God is with us. What could stop God from accomplishing his purposes? God has ascended on high. He's distributed his gifts to men, and he is the king. And God, not only that, he daily bears us up. What is Jesus doing right now at the right hand of God the Father? He is praying for his own. He is interceding for his own. And so he daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. He struck the head of our enemies, sin and death, the devil and hell. He struck their heads. He broke their power. He gave us the victory. We have the victory in Jesus. And so worship on Sunday morning is a victory procession of those who belong to the King who has overcome the grave and we say, bless God and the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are Israel's fountain. It's the gathering together of God's people. And that's why we so need the gathering together of God's people in worship, because it is our weekly reminder of the victory. It's why we gather together on Resurrection Day, which is the day of victory. And also, Pentecost came on a Sunday when Jesus poured out his gifts on his people. Let's jump to the end of the psalm because we are over time, but it's a lot to cover this morning. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Here's the missions call, right? Not only do we worship God together on Sunday morning, but then we send out his word to the ends of the earth, and we call upon the kingdoms of the earth to sing to God, to sing praises to God, to him who rides in the heavens. That's Jesus. He ascended on the clouds. He went up into heaven, and we're told that the same way he went up, he will also return. So the angels told the disciples, the same way you saw him go up into heaven on the clouds, riding in the heavens, he will come back again. And so we ascribe power to God. His majesty is over his people. His power is in the skies. He is awesome from his heavenly sanctuary. He is the God of Israel. He's the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be his name. Well, we can see many, many things in Psalm 68. And I'm going to give you this outline that I got from this wonderful book, The Light of the Psalms, by Michael Ross. This is one of my favorite devotional books on the Psalms. And he says, first we see God's victory, and then we see God's compassion. Then we see God's goodness and God's spoils of victory, God's gifts to men, God's saving mercy, God's songs of praise, God's strength, in God's worship. And again, it's all centered on the victory that Jesus Christ won for his people. So this is a great outline. I'm going to grab this and I'll put it on both Facebook and YouTube below the video so that you can have this outline when we're done this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the victory that is in Jesus, the victory that Jesus won for his people. He has conquered the devil. He has conquered sin and death. COVID is not a threat to your people because death ushers us into eternal life. And yet you do call us to love our neighbors and to be compassionate and to be wise, to walk in wisdom. And so we pray that you would help us to do that in this world, but not in fear, never in fear, Lord. Always in love and wisdom as those who share in the victory of Christ. The chariots of God are twice 10,000. What great resources we have with you in heaven. No enemy can stand against your church. The enemy may have targeted Pastor Jean-Paul. They may have tried to take him out and stop the work you're doing in Haiti, but no enemy can stop your work, your church, your kingdom, your people, because the victory is ours in Jesus. So let us walk today by faith in that victory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope this was an encouragement to you and a blessing. And on Wednesday morning, we'll gather together and take a look at Psalm 69. Have a wonderfully blessed day today.